Hello and welcome to GFW Radio. Thanks, Sean. It's March 4th, 2008. I don't know if we're posting it that day. I don't really care. It's Jeff Green, Editor-in-Chief of GFW, and Ryan Scott is not with us today. There's an empty chair there for him. So somewhere around the 45-minute mark, someone has to say something just like super like bitter and snarky, and that'll take care of Ryan's weekly contribution.
What the hell?
I had a bag of gummy bears in his honor, though.
Oh.
And I even actually, he is here in spirit today. I had to shake the shit out of the snack machine to get it to come out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had to pull a
stop. Did you do the full-on pounding on the floor thing that he does, or that whole shaking of the eighth floor?
Just rocking the entire machine to shake the floor, yeah.
I didn't hear anything, so it must not have been
because you were down here.
Ryan assault.
Oh, that was just now? Right to get the gummy bears?
Right before we came
out. Oh, you were completely inhabited by Ryan Scott then.
Yeah.
Buying his same food.
It's crazy. It's kind of like old Desmond on Lost.
And now you're really Ryan's guy.
Right. We've got the most fucked up candy machine. Like, nothing works here at this place. It's like, we're at this major media company. You'd think everyone always... I hate when people write and like, well, obviously you can play Crysis because you've got a $6,000 PC. It's like, no, I don't. Mine's like one step above like a 486. In fact, I won't waste the time on the podcast, but we're actually still waiting. We're seriously still waiting for our 2007 equipment to come in for GFW.
I got mine.
Yeah, you got yours. I never got mine. I never got my 2007 PC.
The last thing to know about Ryan and the snack machines lately, he's gotten himself a roll of thick transparent tape that's about like 2 inches wide, and he takes a 3 foot long strip, two strips of these, and he tapes them up to a dollar bill. So that he's basically got a 3 foot clear lead on the dollar bill, and they will run it into the snack machine and then hit coin return and then pull it back out and continue to repeat. So he's got, I don't know, he at least got like $7.25 out of that thing.
I was believing you. He's also the guy who tapes up angry notes all over the thing. Dear snack guy.
You're the guy who tells that same story every week.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I got all quiet. I meant that in... And that was supposed to be fun. There was an emoticon with a colon and a capital P.
So we got Anthony Gallegos back. Hi, Anthony.
Indeed. Hello.
Welcome back.
Sean and Sean. See, I didn't make you introduce yourself because last week
why do I have to do that?
Just it happened naturally.
You remembered that.
I did. And I brought it up, so you might as well introduce yourself.
That would be rad if a listener would go and compile... Like all the instances of us or even me.
Oh,
right?
Don't say that. They're going to do it.
So we have like every. Oh. Maybe there's
I'm
like
Sean
you can
Elliott.
Put together a good 40. Well, obviously.
Oh, but you never say
exempt.
Your name.
Well, no. Well, that's exempt. But okay. I mean, like specifics, like the story of Ryan and the snack machine. So maybe we have like 45 minutes of you doing alternate versions of Ryan.
Of the same goddamn thing.
See how it changes.
That's sort of like
the
way we inducted Will Wright into the Hall of Fame like 3 different times.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He's just that good.
He didn't mind.
Yeah, he didn't mind.
But here it is again.
Keeping tabs.
Speaking of which, I'm going to do a segue here. Mm-hmm. Speaking of celebrity game developers, Gary Gygax.
Oh.
Rest in peace for Mr. Gygax. He just died today. I got a call from ABC News like an hour before we went on wanting a comment on it, which I thought was kind of cool. Don't you think?
Did you give one?
Like they even noticed? Yeah, I did.
Well, yeah.
I said, who the fuck's he? No, I knew.
Jeff.
No, I thought that was cool that they cared enough.
Did they say what it's going to run?
No, they didn't. It'll come after whatever latest, you know, the following the, God, I can't talk. Fuck this. Let's
what are you babbling about?
I don't know what I'm
How about this?
About.
It's been like a huge sea change in public attitude toward it. Cause I remember when I was in like grade school and you know, you go to like Bible study on the weekend, they would be telling us about how, you know, you got to stay away from this because it's the devil's work. But it's not just his work, but it's also an outlet for the devil to enter your life. Mm-hmm. They tell us the stories mm-hmm. of kids down in the basement, and they were dead serious. I don't know where they got
this,
but
sure.
They would say all of a sudden, you know, they're in this long like you know D&D session, and one would stand up and outstretch his arms on either side, and then they'd roll up like carpets as if there were no bones in them, Beetlejuice shit, you know, and then they would like roll back out. Like imagine those party whistles.
So, that is what happened to us.
But that would scare the shit out of me. They would tell us that
tracked
straight up.
Yeah.
So I was that was the devil, dude.
Who is going to lead us to Satan now with Gary Gygax dead?
This is not going to be a good thing. But I was the founder of the role playing club in high school.
Oh, you
and
were
I went
guy.
To a Catholic high school, so that was like a really big deal, like with the principal, because I was like putting up posters, and it had like they had some image of like a stairway ascending into stars, and he had a big talk with me about like, I think that might be construed as ascension into heaven, and this, you know, and then it sort of went into the, you know, we think this is demonic,
wow,
and all sorts of stuff. It was moderated.
Yeah, you should
by
have had
nun.
The stairway going down. Then it would have been cool.
Depart from me, I never knew you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he's telling you, man.
You know, it should not come as a surprise if anybody in this whole game group comes out as a D&D player. I mean, come on.
Well,
that's who we
are. I'm not saying it's cooler than now. I just, like, I told you why. That's even more nerdier. What's better?
That's pretty nerdy.
You were like rebel, dude.
Uh-huh.
You were like telling your priest straight up.
Hey, I'm going to hell and I'm taking
fucking dungeon.
Five other students with me. Dragon.
Actually, what I said in ABC News, and I blogged about it too, was that I really think, like, everything would be totally different without him. I mean, it would be like Desmond going back.
There'd be a lot less neckbeards in the world.
but I mean, think of all the dorks who grew up playing D&D who then went on to be game designers.
True.
I mean, modern RPGs, computer RPGs, came from D&D, you know? And then
and then
modern computer RPGs influenced game designs in other genres, and then all this influenced movies and TV. I mean, there's...
You practicing your sound bites for ABC?
I am. I'm repeating
it. It's a good one.
Yeah.
I like
Thank
it.
You. Uh-huh.
It's a good one.
You think role-playing wouldn't have come around in the same capacity if Gary Gygax hadn't been there?
It would have come
from... This is where we need Desmond.
Let me repeat that. It would have come from the sexual community.
The furries.
Yeah. Just anything. Role-playing, man. Like
role-playing.
Like in the movie Trekkies, how the couple that runs the dental office, the husband will dress up like, I forget her name, the ship's counselor, and then the wife will dress up like Data.
Counselor Troy.
Yeah, Counselor Troy and Data. That's role playing.
Well, I guess it probably would have happened.
There wouldn't be otherwise. Dexterity or intelligence. It'd be like libido and penis like.
Let me re-roll.
Makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah. Everyone would have the overwhelmingly large penis score, though. I'm plus four. So he passed away. That's sad. I do remember it in I was probably older youth at that point. The whole big, when D&D was the big, you know, the big boogeyman thing. I remember all the urban legends of the dude who died. Well, it was like in Boston or something, right? It was like some urban legend of somebody's going to know who's listening and hopefully we'll post. But about guys having a D&D session in Boston and, like, you know, ending up in the sewer system and dying or getting eaten by rats or something. I don't know. There's some
messed up,
some urban legend about that.
There's been all sorts of urban legends. Jumping
Jack
off
Thompson
and all that other stuff.
Chasing those dragons back then.
Yeah. We'll have to get Jack Thompson's word on this.
You know, his elf sorcerer died, and this is all just like.
He's been bitter ever since.
Yeah. I'm going to provide Anthony
permadeath.
The kind of transition I expect from you in the future if you're going to continue to join our show. And that's it. You wouldn't have had the weekend you just had if not for Gary Gygax.
It's true.
What kind of weekend did you have, Anthony?
You LARPing?
LARPing might have been a step up from the gathering I went to in San Jose.
Uh-oh, he used the word gathering.
Was that a capital G?
Yeah. My friends all play hardcore magic. Like, when I went to college, like, my last couple of years in Davis, our house was known as the Magic House, like, with all the college kids.
I'm sorry.
They'd all come over to battle.
That's not the house you want to be known as in college.
But I never played. Yeah, I played.
You want to be the beer house.
I guess in some way I maintained, like, a holier-than-thou by playing Warhammer. As ridiculous as that is.
Yeah, you showed them.
Miniatures.
Just like
cards.
I remember when all the people I know that we played Warhammer and we went to go buy a D&D book, they were like, have we really sunk this far? And I was like, we played Warhammer. So,
guns versus swords.
But yeah, we all got together in the South Bay and spent the night at my friend's house. And like they were like, just come hang out. It'll be really fun. We'll all get together. They didn't tell me that like the night before the tournament was going to be spent like just fucking talking gibberish about card stats the whole time.
Did so you bring your box of cards down there?
I don't have cards. Uh-huh. I don't even play at all.
I've never even played Magic.
But they all brought their cards and binders full of cards to trade. And then I didn't know we also had a 7 a.m. wake-up call because we had to get there by like the 9 a.m. registration.
Wow. Some hardcore.
In San Jose.
Magic the Gathering there.
And so like...
did you feel at 7 in the morning when you knew you were getting up, that you were awake
for that
on a weekend for Magic?
I was really upset.
What time did you get up for work?
9. So they were like,
it's the worst.
You know, if we do really bad, which they figured they were, it was only going to take like 2 hours and then we could hang out. And I was like, okay, I'll go. And so I drove out there with them. And as soon as we show up, like, you know, I immediately see like all the neckbeard kids and like 90 pounds or less kids. And it's in the same It's in the same convention center, actually, that day as a religious revival and a cheerleader tournament.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That seems to happen.
We
all
need
the time.
Photos. That happened to us at BlizzCon.
BlizzCon was right next to the Couples for Christ convention.
That's right,
day.
Couples for Christ. And yeah, we were so sorry that there wasn't a big giant Diablo head in the front of BlizzCon just for them.
But so you show up at 9 and everyone has to like register their decks. And then everyone walks around talking
Register
shop.
Register your deck?
Yeah, like with the judge. Judge, so they know exactly, like, you have these cards so you don't try and pull out, like, a card
rules.
In the middle of
so
a battle.
So is this, like, airport security? Like, they stop you and they take your deck and
there,
look through it?
There are the judges with, like, the special striped shirts. That, like, and
I shouldn't laugh.
To become a judge, you have to apprentice from another judge just to become a judge.
Wow.
Like, and
is there like a ceremonial robe and stuff?
No, these guys actually kind of, they're probably just shop owners or something.
What do they
like
look
that.
Like?
Like
you know
everything
like.
You're imagining. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm not imagining
But this is like a
judge.
Big moment for them. This is like the big authority, you know? They're talking to their wife the night before about all the pressure they're under, you know, judging the next day. They're studying the rule book and everything they got to learn. This is important.
So the only people that are there that aren't to play are like moms that brought their kids. So I'm sitting on the couch with like this chick that I described to Sean as like the sponsor for Aquanet, like, because she's got like the most crazy feathered hair and she drove up from LA because she's hoping one of her kids will like strike it rich with Magic.
Doesn't draw an open flame.
Is that what she thought?
Yeah, they were all there. Like they drove
but is
from
that what
LA.
She said?
No.
Well, how much is on the line here?
Well, this tournament was a pro tournament qualifier, so if they won, they would get to go enter the pro tournament, and pro tournaments pay like $10,000. Or something like that. Like, they're definitely like the top Magic players in the world make like triple figures and stuff.
This
a year.
Is like, though, when you're in high school and you have like some older brother who's telling you how garbage men make $40 an hour.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's either that or what are they going to do? Join the military or something? Join the military, play Magic. Fake battles, real battles. But yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. As soon as the tournament starts, like within seconds, you hear like, you just, because it's four separate rooms and all the judges are in like a center room, and then you just hear judge, like all, because that's how you get someone to check on the rules for you. Anytime there's a card dispute or anything like that, so then the stripe guy goes running over to check and make a declaration.
Oh, these disputes must be awesome to watch.
Yeah.
Three frozen wood nymphs out on the table at the same time.
That is exactly what it's like.
So what happens when someone is kicked from play, is ejected from the game? How do they respond?
Most people take it pretty, like one of my friends was disqualified after the fourth round.
Wow, why?
Yeah, why?
Because he had a piece of paper with the names of cards and what they did written on it, because he didn't want to ask the people he was playing, and they said that was against the rules.
Yeah, wow, like, just like a cheat sheet of what cards do?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem cheating.
Disqualified after the fourth round.
Because don't people talk about it while they're playing?
Yeah, that's okay. I guess it's just having like written information.
What the fuck? I mean, it's just, okay.
So, and
these rules have been passed
I
down
protest
generations.
That rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was gross too, like, just because, I don't know, you have to imagine everyone there is like drinking energy drinks and Cheetos.
It probably didn't smell too good in there.
No, and there was only one bathroom.
Oh.
And like halfway through
Oh, shit. There's a subset to this story. I just remembered.
Halfway through the day.
I heard
just
over the weekend.
Ridiculous. What are you talking about?
Well, you know about that bathroom because you had to sit on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because at some point I had to like, you know, go in there because I was there for like 7 hours. And it just, you
I heard
know.
You had to run in there as soon as you got there.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, you can't tell me any of this shit and expect me to not bring it up on the podcast.
I had a little bit of irritable bowel syndrome going on.
Just said you had a gut full of boiling magma on the ride there. It was causing you extreme pain.
Yeah. So I had to run in there and beat all the kids before they got in there, fueled by Cheetos and Mountain Dew, spraying it. But by halfway through the day, it just looked like nothing but like 3-year-olds that didn't know how to hold on to their, their shit when pissed all over everything but the toilet. I don't know.
Wow, I don't like the duels of yore.
Yeah.
So what was the general age like there of the people playing these tournaments?
14 to 40.
Okay, but mostly was it boys? Would you say?
It was all boys. Actually, I don't remember seeing.
But I mean, like as opposed to grown men, like you know.
Oh no, there was a lot of grown men there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I imagine. There's an alternate timeline where I'm there. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a moment in college, like freshman year of college, like first week. One of my floor mates, who I had latched onto because he had a Neo Geo, he was like introducing his Magic the Gathering cards, and I'm like, I've never seen this before, but my brain was just like started percolating, like you would be way too into this, avoid it at all costs, go away.
Yeah,
and in another universe, I succumbed and played Magic the Gathering with him that day.
Yeah, I learned how to play while here at Computer Gaming World because when they first started bringing out the first Magic the Gathering online games. So I got curious, and Robert Coffey and I learned how to play, and I totally saw it. I thought it was cool. I was completely into it, but I was way past the point where I would let myself indulge in an obsession like that in my life.
Wizards of the Coast does make a World of Warcraft version as well.
I do know this. Yes.
I have a lot of shows. World of Warcraft.
It was huge in college. I remember that. Like actually guy became one of my best friends my undergrad years. He was all into it, and I was surprised because at first we'd always clown around. Like we'd go to his room, and we'd take like the building was arranged so that each side of it faced the other. So we'd just take mirrors and play like whack-a-mole with the other people in their rooms, like you know, use the mirror to reflect the sun into their window, and then when they try to look, you hit them in the eye, so they'd have to pop back down because they couldn't look you, and then they try to sneak back up and get a look to see where it was coming from. But then you got to like hurry up and get them before they can see you. And then he was a musician, so he had some guitar amplifiers, and we had this voice modulator that made you sound like an alien. So we would like put the speaker up into the window, and it would bounce, the acoustics would bounce across the other side of the wall, and we'd be like, I am an alien. The thing I like best about Earth is its color. It was just like talk out there all night. But so he was all into it, and he never got me into it. They would always be in like the little lounge playing. But the thing I took away from it was I would quiz him on like what's the most valuable cards and stuff. And way back when, he was always saying like, oh, dude, you got to get the Black Lotus. You got to get the Black Lotus. So I was able to use that knowledge like when I was in line for, oh, here's another confession I wasn't ready to give. But I was in line to see the Ghost in the Shell movie when that came out. Again, with another group of people like that. And so the line was just smelly as all hell. But so I just started talking out loud about how, yeah, you know, my little brother, he just went to college and he gave me this huge stack of those Magic cards that people are always talking about. And he says some of them might be worth money. He said there's like a bunch of Black Lotuses in there and stuff. I just want to get them out of my house. Like, and immediately everyone in the line, not everyone literally, but quite a few people, you know, like three or more.
Are all,
oh, I heard, I just couldn't overhelp hearing you talk that you have some Magic cards to get rid of.
So your one friend got disqualified.
The other one's lost far too early on.
Yeah,
I mean,
so this was like a failed Vegas trip or something.
Yeah,
it's
but the one friend that kept on going for like four rounds, each round is like an hour and 15 minutes or something like that. So I ended up being there for like 5 hours before I finally just gave up that we weren't going to hang out and left.
Did you drive?
Yeah, I drove.
Why didn't you leave him there?
Oh, well, they had a car too. I drove my own self.
Why didn't you just leave?
Because I was hopeful that I don't get to see these people. Yeah, most of them still live in Davis. So...
Can you sit there next to them while they're playing, or is it like roped off just?
It wouldn't
players?
Matter. No one. It's like the. It'd be like watching chess or something. Like no one talks. Everyone sits in very silent.
Oh yeah. So you can't stand next to them and go, dude. you know.
That's what you can't. The whole time I was there, I wanted to walk behind.
Don't play that.
I wanted to walk behind and be like, he has three goblins, and walk away. Like, what are they going to do? Kick me out? Like I'm picturing, like someone trying to kick me out. Although I did see one person get taken away in handcuffs, but I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
A big burly dude. The cops, like four cops just came in and handcuffed him, and he very calmly left.
That's why I was asking you about the age, because I would just love to see like some grown man, you know, in his 40s, some dude like me, like getting in like an argument with some like 13-year-old boy.
He told the judge, he's like, if I was the X-Men's Gambit, I'll throw this card in your face. And they're like, that's it for you.
My big problem was is with all these things. It's just the same damn thing. It's the money sink of this that just fundamentally prevents me from.
It's a brilliant business scheme.
It really is.
There's like these rare cards for how much?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't take long for you to get to a point where you buy a pack and you open it up and you have every single damn card and you're just like, wow, that was just. I just might as well have thrown $2.50 out the window.
Yeah. Right.
But don't they make it so that you can't win keep buying them, right? You have to upgrade along with everybody else.
Well, and now on their website, they sell individual cards at like market value prices as well.
Wow.
For people that are like, I really just want this one card. You can buy it.
Oh, wow.
Have you guys ever spent a week grinding for some drop in World of Warcraft and didn't get it?
No. I mean, there's times I've gone on a raid and then the item didn't drop after I spent like 6 hours.
I mean, a week's a bit of a
point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, for sure.
There have been times where you just are doing something
in EverQuest.
There's something different.
EverQuest is worse. I mean,
yeah.
Well, there is.
Is there really, Jeff? You're paying a monthly fee,
right? But you're paying the money anyway, right? You're not paying to, you know.
But if you did,
it's more like a cable TV thing.
If you spent that week grinding.
Yeah.
And you really didn't want to do it. You just wanted the item. You just wanted the loot. And you didn't get the loot. It better be some good lore to make up for it.
Well, there's other aspects of the experience.
World of Warcraft in particular doesn't really.
Yeah,
it's hanging out
degree
with
where you're grinding for that long.
I definitely had
that's
some
the only thing you do for
EverQuest.
The duration of your subscription fee.
Like one really bad one.
What did you do?
Uh-oh. Oh, it was just like. There was this one item I wanted for my ogre shaman.
Was it your epic?
No. He was only like level 30, but it was like the best thing I could get for a level 30. And I knew it dropped in this one place. And in EverQuest, it was all just like random spawns. And something drops, it isn't like in World of Warcraft. Or at least it wasn't when I played. And so my roommate got on and he dual boxed, which is where he was playing two accounts at once. And I was playing one account. And our computer sat about 4 feet across from each other. And then like... I don't even think we had any food, so we just ate rice or something. And we're like, we committed that morning, like, we're staying here until it drops, right? And he's like, yeah. And then, like, literally, I'm not joking, 15 hours later is when it dropped. Oh,
so wow. We sat there doing the same area?
Killing the same 10 things and then waiting a half hour for them to reappear.
Wow.
Killing them again.
Oh, see, Warcraft has this mechanic with the raids where there's going to be certain items you really want, like a weapon, but they're always in the raids, and the raids have, like, a week... or a 3-day reset timer. So you can't you can't grind it for that long, but you have to wait a whole week. Ugh. So basically in a month, in your $15 worth of time, you can get it, you have 4 chances at it. So that's more like sinister in some
like
way.
That's like getting the iridescent card or whatever the
but that's
one.
What makes it so much more precious.
That's since we've been in fantasy discussion for a while. I want to move it along.
And, don't make us leave, Sean.
We could come back to it. We'll like look at the clock. It's like that's 44 minutes of yield world.
It's only 25.
We like it here.
We were going to talk about. You know, just games we're looking forward to that are coming out and that we've had looks at and stuff later on. But before we hit that, either you guys got some currently playing stuff that isn't Warcraft
yield
or...
fantasy. I'm still on my Civ 4 obsession, so there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I installed Civ 4 after your thing, after your blog post and your rant last week, but it's just sitting there installed and I have not clicked to start it.
It's just I gotta say, it continues to just blow me away just how crazy deep it is. I was playing it last night for a long time and I got utterly obsessed with making sure every single tile on my map was maximized to its full usage, which is not even, I mean, it's not a sub game, but you know, you can get, if you want to get bogged down in the minutia of managing every city you have, you can. Mm-hmm. And I had avoided doing that because I haven't done that since, you know, post-college. And now I've been playing it for so many hours that just the idea of just conquering the world is now no longer enough. Now I need to conquer the world with maximum efficiency. So it's taking up even more hours now.
You need to start blogging about your progress.
It's terrible. I've just got it running because it doesn't take up that much RAM. So it's just sitting there in the background all the time, the same game. I'm just alt-tabbing. You know, I'd like, you know, be in the office with my wife and, you know, supposed to be working on, you know, Quicken or whatever around the house, but you know, it's like, you know, having your boss or teacher around. As soon as she's out of the room, I'm alt tabbing and getting a few turns in back to Civ.
Did a pinball.
Yeah, I just was
great game.
I was continuing my console kick, so I don't want to dwell on that on GFW radio, but finished Mario finally and went back to Drake's Fortune, which I had abandoned for a little while.
I was going to buy Patapon this weekend.
I did buy Patapon, and I'm kind of
feeling how I was.
Yeah, feeling how you were. It's kind of actually, once you get a little later into it, you get a couple levels where you can kind of see some, quote, strategy emerging just because you start reading what a boss might be doing and like, okay, it's rearing its head, so this is where I have to hit the defend thing. But right. It is really, if you reduce it down to its basic core, you have three buttons and that's it.
You just have to love the songs.
It's just, yeah, I mean, it makes you smile.
Yeah, I watched the trailer and it made me want to play it.
When you first play it, you think you're like, this is one of those special gaming moments.
Uh-huh.
Special moments.
And yeah, so you want to love it. It just like
Katamari
convinces you that this is something you want to love, but then you keep playing and it kind of fades away and you're like,
but isn't it just $20?
Yeah, it is, right? $20.
Mm-hmm. Which is the cheapest PSP.
The level
game,
that
like,
almost
new.
Made me throw it out was the desert crossing level. Did you do that?
I didn't get that.
Not yet. You have to make it rain or something like that.
Yeah. That one, suddenly, all of a sudden, your rhythm matching skills have to be on a whole other plane because you have to get into fever mode and like be in there constantly and then do this rain dance, which they teach you. And if you don't, the earth starts on fire and all of your guys just burn to death. And if you're not, and like you have to keep repeating this and you have to keep getting to fever mode and then keep doing it. And then if you screw up once, you might as well start over. So that is the one that made me go, okay. Now I don't know if I like this game.
Yeah, the other PSP game I started playing was God of War. But I got to dumb down the difficulty level, I'm afraid, because I can't beat the very first boss who's 5 minutes into the game, like literally.
That happened to me with the first Devil May Cry.
But I have an excuse. The nub to my PSP broke off.
Well, the nub is crap anyway.
The little plate thing. Yeah. So it's just like the stick. Plastic. And it hurts my thumb to press on that thing.
Can't you, like, MacGyver it? Like, stick some gum on there or something?
I guess I could. I was wondering if they sell replacement nubs.
They do.
These. They do?
Yeah. Huh. I don't know if you can buy it from the store, but I know you can pick them up.
Really?
Maybe super from cool.
Boy, that's quite there. The niche market there.
It's because it happens a lot.
Okay. Maybe I can get a nub with, like, you know, Final Fantasy VII.
Just walk into Garnet's office and pop one off one of the ones.
Shane,
in there.
I could probably get a bulk discount from Shane, from a Sony supplier.
Anthony and I, we were both playing Frontlines.
Field of War?
I talked about it a little bit last week, but now my review, I don't know if it's up yet, but I turned it in yesterday, so it should be online soon.
Saw the console.
Joe's
is on there, yeah.
We had high hopes for Frontlines.
We did, and I still do. So after all that, I've talked about some of the things that work well with it. At first, let me get in. I mean, I'm just going to get right into it now. Like, here's the change. Is that the game wasn't ready for release. It's buggy, over the course of the review, I played it on Vista, I played it on XP, I played the box copy, and I also played Steam copy. And this was on each of my machines. I did both. And the Steam one, I really feel bad for people that purchase it over Steam because it just does not work. It crashes the moment you open it over and over again. Eventually, without doing anything, I was able to get it to start running at work on Steam. And then now it's kind of sporadic. Sometimes it auto crashes, sometimes it doesn't. There was a patch, so I installed that. There was a Vista. The Vista version was doing the same thing. The box copy, I mean, not the Vista version, but it's the same game, but I was playing on a Vista machine, and it was doing the same thing. I installed a hotfix, and I don't know what that did, because now on that version, I can only, of the online maps, there are only two that I'm able to join. Every other map I try to join, and this was weird. It was frustrating, and at first I thought it was everything. And then I was like, wait, this is not a coincidence. It's just these two maps that I'm allowed to join without crashing the game. So now if I'm on a server or whatever and I join when it's on, like, say, for example, Gnaw is one of the maps I have access to on that machine and on that version. Like, if we finish that round and the server changes maps, boom, it'll crash to desktop. That was truly bizarre. On the XP version, the server browser has this thing where sometimes just hitting launch won't do anything. It'll just make the noise and that's it. It won't work anymore. And then if you hit back, then it just kind of crashes. It just sticks there forever.
Sean, is this all for multiplayer you're talking about?
This is all for multiplayer, okay. Except for, of course, when I'm talking about crash to desktop, when you try to open the game, that's for single player as well. That just means you can't play the game. That's for the Steam version.
Okay.
Then they were late. They issued a patch, and then they
within like 24 hours of it being out.
Right, but then it was like another couple days before they issued the same patch for Steam users, but that didn't fix the issue because I got, you know, afterward. And the sad thing is, it's labeled a Games for Windows game. It's right on the box.
That's a symbol of quality.
Vista doesn't like it.
And then so Vista doesn't like the Games for Windows
other
game.
Little bullshit technical things. It's like the crazy thing is Chaos Studios who developed this. Are former Battlefield 1942 modders. They have to have played Battlefield 2. They were actually part of DICE before DICE sold them for a while. I don't know what happened there. So, to my knowledge, I mean, really, you know, enterprising guys. And it's like, I want to see them succeed. But at the same time, you're like, did you not learn any lessons and all that experience with Battlefield, you know, because it's notoriously shitty browsers, which they ended up fixing by the time 2142 came out. They fixed a lot of issues. But so, you know, there's no friends list. There's no when the server list, when you hit refresh, it just continues to update itself, but there's no stop refresh. So what happens is it continues to jump around. And say you see a game, you're like, oh, look, 20 ping, 20 players out of 30. That sounds perfect. And you click it. So you can't double click it and join it. You have to highlight it and then move your arrow down to the bottom and hit launch. Except between, no matter how fast you are, and I'm like, I've got a pretty quick mouse hand, you highlight the thing, and by the time you get your arrow down to the launch button, it's already jumped to something else.
God. You can't stop the refresh?
No.
No, and then so when it's jumped to something else, then you could really be fucked because, like, what, 60% of the servers under ping list, like, X's, and I still don't know what that means, but it's guaranteed to crash or it's guaranteed to just kick you back. So then you got to wait for it to attempt to load that and then kick you back. And it takes – you can just wait. You have to wait out the refresh, and it will still always – do a little movement, but it will stop the major jumping around. But it might take like a full 5 minutes, right? I mean, you're sitting there.
It takes a while.
Even if you can't put on filters to limit the amount coming back, or
there are some filters, and I have them on, like don't show me empty servers, don't, you know, and even with those, there's still quite a few servers out, you know,
I guess
more
that's
than enough
a good
to fill the screen. So that, and that kind of shit's crazy. I mean, then when you're in the game, when you hit tab, you can't see your ping. This is the thing where PC players that get this are suspicious because they know it was a multi-platform release, and they're like, oh, so you guys made a console game. And they did and they didn't. Those ways they clearly did, right? You can't see your ping. You can't see the server IP. So when you're in the game, there's no friends list, and you're trying to tell your friends who you're talking to and vent, and they're trying to tell Anthony, get in this game. What is it? I don't know. I can't find out. It doesn't show anymore.
It doesn't show up on the screen while you're in the game?
No. That information's no longer available once you're in the game. So that kind of shit is, you know, I talk about how I hate to review. I want to review games as, you know, as entertainment software and stuff, and I don't want to do the whole Consumer Report thing. But it was unavoidable in this case, because if you bought this game and you had no forewarning of these issues that you most definitely will be facing, I would be furious. I would be like, give me my fucking money back. I don't want shit to do with this anymore.
And people on the message boards for their message boards were pretty vocal about
in that same way.
How they got fucked, when they bought it.
Oh, yeah. Everything that I've mentioned and more there. If you go to their PC help forum, it's just loaded. And it's so universal now. And the console, it's another story, but it's got a lot of issues as well. But, you know, like the Wikipedia page, it's like the very first part of the entry. It's talking about how what an abysmal train wreck this launch has been for it. And it's got to be, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it clearly came out too soon. It was beta'd. There was a PC public beta test through File Planet, so that's bizarre. And the reason none of this would matter if the game was shit, except the game can be a whole lot of fun. What I figured out is that, for me, the big maps, which is Oil Field and this other one called Solar Farm, they're basically Battlefield-style maps. There's planes, there's helicopters, and tons of real estate. They're they're not so much fun. You get into all the old problems that you have in Battlefield, except these guys haven't corrected them. The one that they tried to address is the seesawing capture points, and that's where you have all these capture points across the map, and your team is just like, let's just spread out and cap these, and it's just nonsense. Now they have a front line where there might be three in that front line, but once that's held, you have to just focus on those. But outside of that, I mean, down to the smallest things, like when Battlefield 2 launched, grenade launchers were insanely abused. Everyone was just using them. You know, the classic noob tube. It happens in a lot of, like, so-called tactical shooters. And in this game, it's nonstop grenade launcher kills, and it's annoying as hell. That's there. Old Battlefield things like, well, what do you do when you're, say, you're in a helicopter and you're a passenger and the pilot crashes or something, and it attributes the kill to the pilot or sometimes to the passengers. It's like we've been flying and we get blown up, and it's like it'll say Rory or whoever was the gunner killed me, and then he loses points for that. Bizarro stuff. Other technical things, I did want to mention this because this is really weird. Unreal Engine 3 so far, every multiplayer game I played on that, it tends to load the textures in as you're playing. Mm-hmm. On the upside, it means, unlike Battlefield 2, you're not spending a 10 minutes waiting to get in the game. It loads very quickly. But when you get in the game, if your PC is not just like flat out top of the line, it chugs after you've been spawned into the world, and all the textures are blank, and then it's like loading them onto the thing. So what this means, and this is for me, I don't know if it's just a Vista issue or what, but I have an 8800 video card, a really good machine. It's pretty much state of the art, but I get this big lag, and then everyone else that's in the game world can see you stuck there, and they know, oh, great, go shoot that fool, because you're loading, like, stuck in a scarecrow position. And then furthermore, when you get in a vehicle, like since it doesn't automatically have like the textures for the vehicle cockpits and stuff loaded, it'll do it again. When you get out of the vehicle, it'll do it again. If you switch to a drone, it'll do it yet again. So it's like in a multiplayer game like this, people are willing to sacrifice any sort of visual fidelity and detail for performance, because that's really what it comes down to. Like the difference between when I play here on the XP machine is insane. Like I feel completely empowered. I get all the kills that all the battles that I feel I should win, I win. And then you go home and all this frustrating stuff happens. You're like, it just lagged for performance reason, you know, CPU lag or something, and I didn't get my kill, and instead I got killed. So that kind of stuff, it's weird. It's like I don't know if there's some solution for that's patchable or what, but that's kind of annoying. But so,
did you turn down your graphical settings in the Vista?
Oh, God. On the Vista machine at home. So, considering that I'm playing on an 8800, I'm only playing at like 1028, and it like all settings set to medium. Of course, no anti-aliasing, no, which is bad because it's a jaggy ass. Like, UE3 engine is like really jagged if you're not running anti-aliasing, mm-hmm. especially at that resolution is a thing. Game runs like very poorly on the Vista machine. That's why I'm thinking it's Vista type issues going on. It just doesn't make any sense. But so despite all that...
How fast is your CPU?
I'll have to check. I forget. But it's good. It came out like just last year, mid 2007. It was, you know, brand new at that time. But so the fact that I'm still willing to say I like this game despite all that shows like when they get stuff right, they're really getting it right. And that's like... So instead of the big giant maps with all the issues and stuff, all the smaller maps give the game this originality and this space that's unique. Instead of just being a Battlefield clone made by former Battlefield modders, it feels like something in between, like Call of Duty 4, which is, you know, much smaller. Everything feels bigger and stuff, but it's because it's like, you know, just straight infantry. And then the full Battlefield experience with the vehicles. And that's because all those bots and remote control drones they have end up serving the same purpose that the vehicles do for tactical variety, just all the different kind of things you can do, and just changing up the experience the whole time, the trickery and stuff, but without the issues of the full vehicle things I was talking about, fighting over who gets it, one seemingly overpowered, finding just, you know, really good ways to exploit it, and also just making it feel unique. So I think if they had focused just on that, maps like this one called Street or Mountaintop or Village, and if they just took that scale and said, let's focus on this, let's focus on the bot use, let's make it so people can personalize them, upgrade them, give it the persistence that Call of Duty 4 has that's you know, gone over so well with their audience there. Instead of trying to do everything, it's like their map size. They try to do COD4 style maps. They try to do maps that are just like remakes of from the Desert Combat mod, Battlefield. Like they try to cover all bases, and it's just, you know, I think they should have focused on the bot thing.
What are the map sizes?
64 players if you want.
Supposedly, but I've never seen a match anywhere.
I have.
Have you seen?
I avoid them because, I try to play those smaller maps, and so it's like I don't want 64 players in playing Street, you know. And here's why it's cool. I think it's best to just give you an example of gameplay. So, like, if you're running around in this world and someone does come by in a light vehicle, they come by in an APC with a gun on it or something, you go and hide behind a building. And normally, in a battlefield scenario, if you're not the right class, if you don't have a rocket, you're pretty much fucked. Or if you're not Spec Ops where you can throw something on, you know, C4 on it. So you kind of hide back there until splash damage eventually kills you or someone else comes along and distracts them. But here, you're able to go back there, switch to a little RC buggy, and then drive it back around the corner and then run it right underneath his vehicle and blow it up, and it will blow up his vehicle.
If you're the drone class, though.
That's the thing.
Oh, so you do have to be a certain class.
You have to be a certain class, but they're only these are like they're not even classes.
They're four like main classes and then like sub classes.
And it's the drone thing goes over so well. I mean, that's another fault of the game. It's like
that's all you ever want
to do. All you ever want to do is that thing. And it works fine because there's six drones total, three for each team. And
do you go into the point of view of the drone once you
Yes you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can do first person or third. And that's what's so cool is like say someone's like stalking you or something, you're out driving around or flying around in the drone and you just notice, oh, there goes someone and he's heading to where I'm actually standing and controlling this thing. Do I switch back and get ready to fight him or do I chase him with the drone? And then so maybe you chase him and you see he's just about to like come up and clock you in the face and kill you with melee and you get him just in time. So he like falls at your feet even though you like remotely did it. It's a cool experience, you know, or say someone's sniping and that's normally the bitch. You're like, fuck, you complain about how you hate snipers. Where's that shithead again that just goes and lays down for the whole game and just sits there shooting at dickheads? So you, with this guy, with this game, you can get a drone and then you fly it around and you find the guy. And then like you have this scenario where suddenly he was in this position where he could hurt people with relative impunity, right? If you didn't have a sniper rifle or grenades or something, now you're the one who can hurt him with impunity because if he shoots down your drone, whatever, you're not going to die. And you have these rad games where, say, he's out on a balcony and he sees your drone coming and he runs inside the hallway so that, you know, when your drone's going to pass through the hallway, he'll be able to shoot it when it's kind of silhouetted in the door. But then you kind of go around and go in another window and come down the hallway behind him and then blow him up from behind with the drone or something. And that stuff's rad. They fly through the sky. They all die quickly. If you shoot a flying drone, it'll blow up. So
does it have a cooldown or anything? Or, I mean,
you have like a level up or something. Like you have to do so much before you'll get the ability to use it again.
Does it stay alive until it gets shot down?
Yeah. And it has a signal distance to prevent you from cruising the entire map.
Okay.
And then once it's blown up, it has a long recharge rate, so you can't just boom throw it out again. But you might have the other ones recharge. So then you could say if you just did a flyer drone and that worked, then suddenly you could switch to a little tank type thing and cruise around with that. And so far, I'm really happy with the balance because, like I was saying, the aircraft, you shoot them two hits and they blow up. And then the maps are made so that there's all this like dust and debris floating around. And it's rad because you're always scanning for little movement in this game, which is, you know, kind of unusual. So you're like freaking out. Trash goes by and you're like, pop out, shoot that. But that part's balanced. The little tanks, they might rip you up and they're hard as hell to shoot. But however, the turret traversal is fairly slow. So when you see one, you can run at it full speed. And then you do donuts around it and its turret can't hit you. And then since the physics works, you knock them over just by like bumping up against them. And it's like a turtle or something and flip it on its side. Or you can just go around stabbing it or whatever. And it's just so all the kind of like play that emerges from that is super fun. Mm-hmm. And if it just performed well and like consistently, we could play the maps we want. And this is the other weird thing, that map shit where I can't play certain maps on certain machines. Rory and Anthony, I don't think have it. Rory has it, but it's on a whole different set of maps. So in the overlap, there's only one map that we could both play. So we ended up playing like Gnaw from that machine the whole weekend.
Yeah, whereas mine runs fine on every map I've ever tried.
Right.
So.
So it sounds like basically they put it out too early.
So they,
it's a good game that went
which
out
is
too
fucked
early.
Up because I was telling Sean, it's like one of those things. It's like people that maybe they're like getting back into PC gaming or this is like their first experience with PC gaming are like, fuck this. I buy these games and
chase them right away.
They don't even work. Yeah. Like I hate when developers are just like, oh, we'll patch it later or something
and
like
it's
that.
Precisely the scenario that you're describing is precisely the scenario that the Microsoft launched the Games for Windows initiative to
get rid of.
Yeah.
Right.
And here it is, an official Games for Windows game.
Yes. Very frustrating. It's like, And I don't know. Hey, like, I'm not pointing the finger at anyone. It could have been the developer, could have been the publisher. It could have been like whatever. Just the corporation was like, hey, our stock plan just depends on us having a product out in this quarter or something.
Right. We can't wait. This is their first game ever.
So I don't want to blame anyone, but it's like in the end, it just completely fucks you over to do that because now the word is spreading. You look around and you bring it up. The forum responses are all negative, and it's like people getting bogged down on that. But there's like a great game. There's a great game underneath there.
Yeah. But this can be totally deadly to a game like this, right? I mean, once you get this reputation, it's really hard to come back.
Yeah.
I mean, even if, like, we've all heard those stories about a game having to go out for stock reasons or whatever, but it ends up so shooting themselves in the fucking foot every time.
Exactly. Because
you can't recover from that kind of reputation. Yeah, I mean, like, how good is Hellgate going to have to be now before any of us are willing to give it a shot
again? No one's
ready
to give that a shot again. This dovetails into a, what's his name? Iron Lore guy, he said.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, reported a 3 for him.
Hold on. Yeah, are we done? We can keep going on this.
Well, it doesn't mean it's over. We can
go. Okay. This is just a quick aside, really.
Yeah, but, give some context on who this is.
So Michael Fitch, is he from THQ or?
Yes, he's
from
THQ.
Well, Iron Lore Studios shut down. They're the ones who did Titan Quest and the recent Soulstorm expansion for Warhammer 40K: Dawn of War.
Mm-hmm.
They shut down last week, or they announced that they were shutting down. So Michael Fitch posted on Quarter to Three forums, pretty much a big rant. About, you know, he just needed someplace to vent.
Yeah.
Right.
After this, you know, horrible thing happened.
Right. He's been a long-standing Quarter to Three member, and he's been very, very visible on those forums in support of Titan Quest for a long time, mm-hmm. like with gameplay tips and stuff. So he's always been a great source.
So he was talking about, you know, piracy always comes up as one of these things that developers are saying are killing PC gaming. But he points out a specific thing that killed Titan Quest, and that was people were pirating their game. They had copy protection built into the game where it would dump you out of the game and it looked like a crash. So they were getting this horrible reputation on the forums.
Oh, yes.
The game was crashing.
It's also what has been attributed to part of the Frontlines problem.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Well, they're both THQ games, so maybe it's the exact same.
It was something that it sounds like Iron Lord just built into their game.
Right.
But there was no message that said, like, you have a pirated copy, we're kicking you out because of this, it would just crash. But all of the people who were playing were, you know, if they were playing early, they were playing pirated copies.
Right,
and
right.
They would go to forums, I guess, and say,
right, and actually
this
he talks
crashing, what a crappy game.
Right, and he talks about in his post. And so he said two things. One is that before the game was even released, Titan Quest reputation was getting spread in the gaming community that it was buggy, mm-hmm. and crashy, which was only happening to them because they were playing fucking pirated copies.
That's fucked.
But then the other part too was he was talking about at least one totally vocal member who went on the official forums and did this whole rant about how, okay, yes, I did have a pirated copy, but I'm such a fan that I then went out and I bought the real retail copy and installed it, and I'm having the same problems. But as they kept talking to this guy and trying to figure out what went wrong, it turns out that he never got rid of everything off of the pirated game.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem never went away, which he kept attributing to the pirated copy. So, I mean, he kept
the retail
to the retail copy. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's an example. I mean, in Titan Quest case, you know, you don't know if that's all that went down here.
But
it definitely speaks to Sean's point.
Talking about the reputation you get.
Here's another little bit of information I want to share about, I mean, piracy, because you do, it's like, you know, that we don't want to blame everything. There's no like single explanation for why games that ought to sell more don't sell.
Mm-hmm.
But on the piracy thing, you know, make of it what you will. The guys at Relic were telling me that they had, over 800,000 downloads of their latest patch in China alone. And of course, that's all there is in China is piracy. The latest Company Heroes patch. And then that was just off. So if you imagine 800,000, and if they had 800,000 extra sales to whatever they've done, the thing would be like multi-plat.
Yeah.
But also, it's like that's just from the official site. And the majority of people in China don't get even patches and stuff from the official site. They get it from friends giving them links and stuff and just downloading it. So that's part of the reason why they're making the Chinese version, but that's not going to be, you don't buy the thing. It's free and you pay through other means because it's like, I mean, there's so many potential sales that they're just losing on worldwide, and that's just China. So
Damn.
Yeah. But on the front lines, I don't know how much else to say. How much else I have to say about it? I mean, I could talk about the single player, but other than to say that it's got the score it does, and I would love to give it more. And it's like I assume they're going to patch it. They're used to that. They're modders, and they patched and updated Desert Combat all the time. The game just developed. It got more maps. All these things. I assume as much will happen for Frontlines if it sells well enough to justify it. But like you were saying at the same time, most people have already made up their mind. I think if I wasn't so persistent, because I had to just keep going back to it because I needed to review it, and that's why I tried so many different rigs. It was like, okay, I can't stop. But normally, I would have just uninstalled it, and if I couldn't take it back, I would have just thrown it in the shit pile.
Well, who has the time or patience for that nonsense?
Right.
You know, if a game doesn't work and you give it a good college try, I mean, fuck it. You know, I absolutely would, if I wasn't reviewing a game like that, I would give up. Yeah. I want my money back. Yeah. I mean, I used to say it at the magazine that, you know, I used to feel like any game like that should just like get a zero, you know, just like if your product doesn't work. I mean, you compare it to, we have this kind of conversation all the time. You compare it to any other product in any other business and it doesn't work, you return the fucking thing. Your refrigerator doesn't work, you don't go in there and start fixing it yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know? Well, I guess I'll just have my food half cold. It doesn't really, I'll wait for them to give me my refrigerator patch.
But at least the door fits my milk nicely, even though it's going to spoil it.
Yeah.
The other thing.
Yeah, it's not really their fault.
The other thing to come out of this is that the 360 version has got its own share of bugs, and then like online latency issues and other, you know, other performance things. It's got its own host of browser problems, and they're already talking about the patch too. And that's funny because, you know, prior to the hard drives and stuff coming to consoles, everyone was worrying about this. Like, well, it's great. There's the whole debate. Like, well, it's great to get these new Halo maps, but is the deal with the devil going to be that you're going to get these shitty launch games that come out and that you have to wait like three or four more months for them to actually work? And like,
yep,
this might be the answer. You know, and that's
now they can suffer the same way we did.
Yeah, well, hey, it's not just the players, it's everyone that loses in it. Everyone. Yeah. So it's like, again, the moral of the story, finish your fucking
games.
Make sure they work and then put them out.
Yeah. That's another one of my pet peeves is the guys who get angry when a game gets delayed because it needs more time. Mm-hmm. The guys who are going to boycott Blizzard because of the latest StarCraft delay or whatever. It's like, would you like them to put it out now unfinished?
You're going to boycott because they're not getting a new product when they want?
Oh, sure.
They're not going to boycott it.
You're not spending enough time on the fan message.
Go edit your fanfic for the next 3 months or whatever.
speaking of fanfic, remember what you found with the Frontlines?
Oh, my God.
Like one good thing to come out of the Frontlines
fanfic?
I spent time on the Frontlines forums for the tech issues, and they've got a designated fanfic forum.
Awesome.
I was surprised to see that it's got fanfic in it.
What?
This soon.
Is there sex in it?
No, I didn't even read that much.
Sentences that don't make sense.
But the funniest thing, it's just like,
the
painfully shitty writing. And this one guy, he's like the first to post this
fanfic. He was in the moonlight. Sitting in the moonlight.
It's really like that. So this fool posts this thing, and then he's even like critiquing himself. He's like, it's pretty decent if you ask me. And then the next person posts a story, and it's arguably better. I mean, you know, whatever. Like,
he's like, it's all right. Your storylines are okay, but your storylines are cliched. Like, he says that, like, he keeps contradicting himself.
So the guy who wrote the piece of shit first one is in there ripping on the next one. Mm-hmm. And then,
he's a veteran.
And in addition, he tells him that his grammar is messed up all over the place. So the first guy is like, didn't even understand the fucking meaning of the word. So he's like, what are you talking about?
But on top of that, then one of the mods of the forum, whose picture is a furry or something, is always telling him, like, this is good stuff. Keep it coming.
Yeah, but that's his job. I don't want to rip on that guy too much.
Community.
I can't excuse his furry avatar. But, I mean, that's his job, is to get these kids to do what. Hey, you're talking about our game, and you're not bitching about the fact that it doesn't run? Carry on.
Sounds like two.
Tell me some more stories.
Yeah, yeah. Please distract the angry people.
What would it be like? What would you do if you could get this game running?
That'd be some.
That would be a good fanfic. Yeah.
Role play a happy customer.
I should go post a fanfic on that. Well, let's start off.
They're both in Starbucks on laptops, like next to each other. So what are you writing over there? How about you? Me too.
So I did want to put in one little word for Iron Lord, just back to that.
Oh, yeah.
That I was... It's like another Gary Gygax moment, another loss for Iron Lord, because those guys were...
Oh, totally.
...were great developers. Titan Quest, I think I said this at the time that we gave Titan Quest our RPG of the year, was it last year, 2006? I don't know. Whenever. That I felt like it was the first... air-quoted Diablo clone to be worthy of not actually being called that. I felt like it was so much at a higher level than any other game other than Diablo that it was completely worth just not being stuck with that stupid label.
Really quality, like, world and map editors, too, for users to create their own quests.
Yep.
It had there's a lot going for it.
Queest.
Yeah, so it's probably...
Queesty.
Titan Queest. So you can probably still find it out there, I'm sure.
Yes, you can. It's
probably
on Steam
bargain
as well.
Prices.
It
does, is it on Steam?
It works on Steam.
If you have any interest in action RPG Diablo's style gaming and didn't check it out, I highly recommend it. Doesn't do the Iron Lord guys much good now, but it was a great game.
Last thing, I thought of it too late. I always say the last thing. For Frontlines, they need to add a class or like an unlock where it's like War Correspondent, because you know how on the single player Anthony, it's like...
The whole story's like, told by the War Correspondent. Through.
You mean for fanfic?
Yeah, where you basically go lay down somewhere in the battlefield and you bring up your little BlackBerry.
Uh-huh.
And you can write fanfic and then you hit post and it sends it out of the game and puts it right there on the forum.
That'd be great. So if I was like a war correspondent, I could just like follow you around. I could be like your banana writer.
How you feeling now, Mr. Elliot?
Dude,
how do you feel to shoot that guy?
If banana, there's like opportunity for banana. I jokingly set up Anthony for the Frontlines version of banana writing.
Yep.
And I was like, you remember this, Anthony?
What, like, when I was holding the helicopter for you? Like, I'd sit at the spawn. Make sure you get the helicopter when it spawns.
No, not that too, but mainly when I'm like, all right, guys, I'm going to use a drone. I want you to guard my body.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. I want you to stay around and make sure no one shoots my body when I'm flying my drone.
This keeps reminding me of Eye of Kilrog. I hate to say it.
Oh, the warlock spell?
A quiet wow moment. Yeah. The drones, it operates on
well,
the same
gameplay
principle.
Well, that's a ripoff of, let's take it back to Gygax. That's a ripoff of the Eye of Beholder, isn't it?
Oh, the Beholder's an enemy.
Right.
No. This is, I mean,
you're not the
this
Beholder.
Is just a spell that you control an eye.
The Eye of Kilrog.
I've used it in Warcraft 2.
Eye of
Kilrog?
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, they did have that in Warcraft.
It's been around for a while.
Really? It was back in... I should know this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the design is obviously nothing special. It's an eyeball.
Well, yeah. Like, no, I don't mean like the actual eyeball.
Crap flying,
I mean the mechanic
the
of...
Yeah. I mean, its purpose is you go into a separate mini avatar and control it for a while.
Right.
But you don't have any like separate spells or anything. You're just flying
right
around.
No, there was an FPS that let you control a drone.
Enemy Territory Quake Wars. But ultimately, all conventions and shooters... come back, held back to the fantasy world, where, or in historical times, a witch's familiar might be a raven or a cat, and through these, she would see the world.
Keep going.
It's true.
Keep going.
I got no more.
Gygax.
I was trying to bring it back.
Gygax.
So, you want to talk about some games that are coming out?
Let's take a break first.
We'll take a break, and we'll come back and talk about the future.
Yeah.
Future.
3, 2, 1.
Listen to EGM Live, the weekly podcast for Electronic Gaming Monthly, available every Monday for download at egmlive.oneup.com or podcast.oneup.com or the iTunes Music Store.
Sweep the leg!
Sweep the leg, Johnny.
Sweep the leg!
We're back! During the break, we actually went into the future and we saw what is coming out. So now we can report on what we saw.
Yes.
Some more lost stuff again.
Yeah. So what are we looking forward to the most?
I can go first.
You got 5 minutes. Tell me what you're most looking forward to. Go.
What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for Left 4 Dead. That is, I think, the number one PC game. I mean, the obvious one for me would have been a Lich King, but I won't go there.
Good.
But
you're taking steps.
I am. Thank you. Even though that's the truth. But yeah, I want to play the hell out of Left 4 Dead, and it's because I realize I just need more co-op games.
It's true, yeah. But at the same time, I know Sean's gonna hate me for this, but there's like, that's one of those games I might have to buy twice, because like I want it for PC, obviously, to play with Sean and Rory and all them. But I have a lot of friends that don't play PC, and they're going to want to play with me on 360.
Oh man! Like,
take off your headset.
You're
going
to have to
get out.
You're going to have to pick your. You're going to have to pick your friends, man.
It's like Orange Box is the first thing I ever bought for both. For that reason,
honestly, though, really? Like you tell me, like I don't want to be, you know, like the platform chauvinist, but I think that game. I don't know, man. It's pretty nice to be able to like hit everything like square in the face. The second
it's going
to
be made.
It
seems for PC. Like I'm telling you, it's just for friends.
Fast,
and like, you know that they're designing it for while they're making console version, like the Orange
right
Box.
Now,
they're making a PC game.
And right now, Rory's banning my IP from Ventrilo. I'll try and connect tonight.
Yeah. I can just picture like a moment where like your friends being dragged up by like the tongue noose, and you can't fucking hit the guy's tongue and knock him back down.
Right.
Like, and damn it.
The zombies are so fast and agile, mm-hmm. and they come from so many different directions. And even the jumping is fine. That works fine with the controller, you know, if they put it on like the stick or something, because you do want it. You like to get up on top of things a lot. But, you know, every time I've played, it's like all about that. That's part of the fun, the simple fun. It's just like target acquisition and then just boom, nailed them, boom. And but really rapidly, because you know how many there are and you know how fast they're moving.
Yeah, they're the fast zombies, not the slow zombies. But yeah, I mean, but the whole co-op thing, I just more and more these days.
Mm-hmm.
If a game is going to be just like me in front of a computer by myself, and I think it just might be the situation I live in, you know. But if like my boyfriend can't play with me, sometimes I'm just like, eh, fuck this. This is not going
to
be interesting.
It's hard to play a single
even
player
when
game,
I play right Stalker, I still sit there and vent with everyone a lot of times.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, yeah. Just because...
See, I don't have a hive mind to talk to.
Social, yeah.
You should get in on our cipher, man.
So you guys are sometimes just sitting on vent, not playing the same thing?
Yeah.
Sort of
out. We're
that's
in there.
Pretty cool.
Those fuckers were grinding Lord of the Rings. And we're like, we just talk shit to each other. Two of us are like, might be in Company Heroes, or three of us, and we're screaming and yelling about all the shit we need to do there. They're arguing about LOTRO. Someone else is playing Counter-Strike in a tournament, like James...
See, that is a very uniquely PC thing you're describing
there. It is.
There.
Yeah, it is. It's very modern world, too.
It is.
I approve. Uh-huh.
It's fun. I recommend it. I mean, yeah. I recommend that everyone do that. Find a Ventrilo or TeamSpeak cipher. Play your games in them.
I mean, because I was using, for a while there, I was using MMOs, like, as the way I communicated with people I no longer lived near. Like,
yeah.
Sure.
Know, we would play EverQuest together or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you guys live across the country, and this is the only time I ever talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Very modern.
I'm mm-hmm. sorry that I said that I would.
Oh,
buy.
I don't even care, dude. I was just joking.
You could still be in Vent while you play on Xbox.
My point of view that's is, true. Like I said, I really don't want to seem like platform chauvinist on it. It's just that, like, for me and talking to you, because I know you play PC shooters.
Yeah,
so
the
you
control isn't what it's about.
It works,
just,
so
it would literally just
us.
Be for friends.
Yeah, but for everyone else out there, dude, by all means, like, hop on it. I'm sure it's going to be great there, too. I was talking for just between us, man. You're upsetting me.
Men to men.
What other games?
I'm looking forward to Left 4 Dead, and then like my version, of course, of your guys' Lord of the Rings Lich King, is
Lord of the Rings Lich
the
King
Company Heroes Eastern Front expansion. It's all but been confirmed when Josh Mascara from Relic was on mm-hmm. last week.
Mm-hmm.
All but been confirmed, meaning it hasn't officially been. He kind of just whatever. I'm choosing.
You're reading
to believe,
body language.
Yeah, I'm choosing to believe that this is what's coming next, and so that is that.
That's
the moment he said
you.
it became just, my number one most anticipated game. But Fallout 3, I'm so excited for, and this is weird because I never played any Fallout games, but I have seen it now, and I like you know when they last brought it in, they showed us some of the gameplay, but just the idea of like RPGs. Now and then I'll really enjoy playing them, like Western style ones, you know, mm-hmm. like Oblivion was great. That was mm-hmm. the last, you know, one I really played. But the thing is that they always have this like de facto, it's got to be 40 hours or like, I don't want to spend 40.
Oh, right.
And it's like an MMO in miniature, right? It's 40 hours of the same bullshit over and over again with these artificially imposed like ways to keep you playing. But the whole point of like design direction with Fallout 3 is to say, take this, maybe it's just 20 hours max, but every decision and everything that goes in here is consequential and is meaningful to the outcome of the game. So it's like, you know, if you play it again, the example that everyone's heard because they've showed us, you know, very little of the game at this point in time has been this town with a bomb in it. And if you set off the atom bomb, the town's gone. If you defuse it and keep it around, the town's there. And that radically alters the outcome of, you know, your adventure. whether you accept subsequent missions inside that town or whether you have to go elsewhere to do the things that you otherwise would have in that town. So that notion of playing around, like, even if it's 10 hours, sounds fucking great to me.
You should. I don't know if it's, you could still find it anywhere, but the first one for sure, and the second one too, are definitely worth playing.
They just re-released them as, like, Fallout 1 and 2 in a box set for, like, $19.
Did they? It's absolutely worth it. And for a lot of the reasons you're talking about, I mean, these are a couple of the RPGs that I remember where playing through more than once absolutely could make a total difference in the way the game ultimately worked out in the end.
Mm-hmm. My unfortunately,
we're making real choices in how the world would change.
My introduction to the Fallout universe was on the Xbox game Fallout Brotherhood of Steel.
Oh, yeah, this shit doesn't count.
I know it doesn't count. But that game epitomized grinding.
Yeah.
It was like the very first level, it was kill scorpions. I'm not lying. So you kill scorpions, and then the first dungeon is to go into the dungeon and eradicate all, like, whatever, 100 scorpions. And you have to get every last one. And then when you do, you're treated to a boss fight with a giant scorpion.
I will tell you that you will kill scorpions in Fallout 1 and 2.
I know.
However, don't forget.
They're called Brad scorpions. This was
1998.
And it looks cool.
Yes.
You could choose to aim at their, like, antenna or, you know.
Right. That's how it worked back in the day.
Formic acid spitter.
Right.
And
it wasn't really grinding. There wasn't actual grinding then. You weren't doing repetitive tasks then. Mm-hmm. You were just making your way through maps.
Yeah.
You
know? The way it looked, too.
There were random encounters if we were wandering in the desert, too.
There were random encounters, yeah.
Three, it has, like, the Deus Ex Bioshock vibe where, you know, like, the example they showed, you're trying to get through the subway, and there's these automated ticket takers, but then there's also, you know, like, mutants rolling around through there, and you're able to actually reprogram the automated ticket taker to, like, let you through and then to protect you, or you could do something else, you could fight it, and all that just seemed cool. I mean, every bit about it, there was so much. And like Bioshock, it had the art direction down. They're like, let's think about this. What is, you know, how are we going to communicate information in this game? The whole way that it sets you up, that you're actually born in there and that you choose your appearance when you're looking at photos of your childhood and stuff. Mm-hmm. Very, you know, perfectly natural integration of backstory into the actual gameplay. Just the art direction, like, it, you get a glimpse at the world, and it communicates what this place is, what it's about, and it's not just here's a generic wasteland with scorpions, giant scorpions and shit in it, but, like, it's very specifically built on kind of like 50s, you know, World of Tomorrow type shit, but given a dystopian veneer. And I think it looks, maybe it'll suck, but everything I've seen so far just gives me reason to be excited about it, is what I'm saying. And then the other thing I'm going to cheat and say, too, is because, you know, basically, if you give you guys a chance, maybe Anthony, talk about Stalker if you want to, but Stalker Clear Skies, I sadly don't know enough about it, but it's like one of those games that just over the year, I keep thinking about it, and I'm like, you know what? That was really one of the greatest gaming experiences I had last year. And you're like, because you're not remembering, you know, you're more charitable in retrospect. You're not remembering all the times it crashed on you or the bugs or some of the annoying stuff, you know, and you're just thinking about, like, the experience of being in that game world stuck with me, like how creepy it was or how atmospheric it was and the cool things going on there. And I'm glad that they're making another one.
You had great stories about it back when we were podcasting about
it. Yeah, I always liked it. And that was another thing where it was like I gave it an 8, and it was kind of like I don't know if people thought that wasn't a high score because of the usual why so low thing. But it was it's a great game, and I'm really tempted to go back and play it. I know Robert Ashley's also playing it now, and he told me that he was up till 4 a.m. last night because he went to bed, couldn't stop thinking about it, and said, fuck it, got up back and turned it back on.
Bam. High praise indeed. I got to play that. That's on that pile of games that I almost, like, I installed it, and I keep almost playing it, but then I'm just like, no, I want to do something.
I think I'm still having PC difficulties. There's some stuff in the game so badass.
There's so many awesome, just like even that first, you know, just the first part, I know, like, it was bringing the memories back when I was talking to Robert about it. The first section, you come out and you need to cross basically either underneath this rail bridge or up over the hill. And it's got, you know, all these various things to keep you from doing it. And, like, you can go and fight the guards. You could bribe the guards. There's this other tunnel you can go through, but it's loaded with atmospheric anomalies, and you got to look at PDAs and stuff and find out this other guy's research about how he got through there and work it out like a puzzle. Or you just look around the environment long enough, just be an explorer, and you can just find a way that you can just get right through on your own. And that kind of thing, It's just great. I don't know. I just love that type of game. I'm like this, everything. And then the next step, it's like you encounter some guy playing a guitar in a shitty house and he talks to you or he tries to trick you. And it's like, it's so organic and natural the way that one thing leads to another. And there's never this sense of, this is the exact story someone wanted to tell me. And they're so determined to tell it to me in this specific order and make sure that I didn't miss a single thing, that it just feels stale and like very ungame-like. Yeah, that's my second recommendation for that game.
Cool. Yeah, Anthony?
StarCraft 2. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I mean, okay. I do like... Or what? Are you saying you wanted me to talk about Stalker?
No, that's perfect. I'm saying I'm glad you brought it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean...
That's going to be mine. You beat me to it.
Oh. I mean, I'm not really looking forward to the multiplayer only because I was never good at the multiplayer of the first one. But those games, like the Blizzard RTS games, even Warcraft 3, I liked like from start to finish just for the single player.
The single player campaigns are awesome.
Are really good. Like even that one they did for Warcraft 3, which was like that one that was download only where you played as the Beastmaster guy. I can't remember.
I didn't play that one.
Rexar.
Yeah.
Who you see. He wanders.
Yeah, he wanders.
He wanders that one zone. I can't think of what it's called. But yeah, I'm just saying like they've always had really good stories. So, and just what I've seen, like learning more about the characters and the way they've changed since the last expansion 10 years ago or whatever.
What they showed at BlizzCon for the single player campaign gave me serious, and I mean this in all of the good ways and not the bad ways, Wing Commander vibes. Like the way they set up the ship and how in between each
exactly
mission,
you get to go on the ship.
You're wandering in between all of the different, you know, very familiar decks, and then people have moved around and they have, you know, new stories to tell you.
I thought it was daring for them especially to go in that direction. Like I definitely had a sort of curmudgeonly like, what? Why are you changing things? So, you know, and I know I wasn't the only one in the room at BlizzCon who felt that way. I mean, I have faith that they'll pull it off, but they're really taking that presentation in a different direction mm-hmm. with that campaign. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, the presentation in the other ones was always very linear and straightforward.
Very
so
linear.
You didn't have these specific story sequences you played out, but I'm kind of curious how that plays out.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see like the way that the fighting has changed because, you know, they're making more use of terrain rather than it's just that there's a ramp that you can get onto a higher level. Having the units that can traverse terrain right. and stuff, I think is going to make a really big difference. So hopefully that comes out this year. Most people in the office don't seem to think it's going to be an 08 game.
Yeah, when it's probably done with them.
Really?
I don't
think so.
Really? Yeah. The screens, I mean, that just, I don't know if they're bull shots or not, but the screens make it look like it's pretty done.
Sure, but they take a lot of time with their beta testing, which they haven't even started yet. But, you know, they're also trying to get Lich King out the door, and they very traditionally go one game at a time.
Well, and so. Lich King seems like the more obvious choice for them. I mean, StarCraft 2 will sell whenever, but they already have many subscribers.
You think they would sit on... Because they have, obviously, two separate teams working on it. I mean, there's some crossover, like, you know, with the big guys like Metzen and Pardo are probably working on both. But you think they would sit on StarCraft 2 if it wasn't ready, if Lich King was coming out the same month? I don't think they'd do that.
I don't think they would. I think it's more just that they fuss over the gameplay so much that it really just won't come out in time.
Because uh-huh.
they'll still be fussing
with
it. I
don't like that idea either.
Hmm?
I'm just joking. I have no idea what Activision thinks of that idea.
Oh Activision, right. What's the connection?
If you've got two games and they're ready.
Actard. Yeah.
They know that's a marketable studio. I don't think they'd be too hurt if they decided that they were capable of putting out two games a year.
Yeah.
Right. Luckily, for that game, I have enough friends interested. Because, like you, whenever I went online, it was just like, screw this, I can't play.
Yeah, I would never play multiplayer.
Incredibly awesome gaming memories
without friends
doing it over LAN in our house with six other people.
Plus,
and it was awesome.
I hope there's a really good map editor in it because it was always cool the first time around to see like I never played like when I would play multiplayer a lot of times. We didn't even play traditional like quick matches where we were just fighting each other. We'd always do like the ones that were like I don't know, tailored around like a theme or something like that. Like or just seeing what the people would create. Like where it might just be like you have like two really powerful space marines and you have to hold out against like waves of
you know what
Zergs.
You mean. I can't believe you're suggesting that, man.
What?
Like unless they have to have something in place where like someone on their forums or something critiques them, and there's some kind of like score you can attach to them. Because right. otherwise, you just make stacked maps. It would be like, well, there's a co-level editor, and it would be like if we made one with like a plus 60 fuel right outside base.
But these
and
ones
theirs are all plus 5.
Yeah, but these ones were always just people versus PC and stuff like that.
Oh,
like they would
computer.
Make like yeah, okay. they would make like weird themed ones yeah. though. Yeah, no.
Because I would make scenarios. Bullshit ones in Warcraft 2.
Well, but plus,
label the server high gold. I think I've told this before, but just not to you. Label the server high gold. And then, of course, the mine's got like two fucking clink in it.
I'm just saying, like, the ones that are really good will get passed around. Like, I just think that at some point the community also weeds out a lot of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They have some right. sort of like community filter. I would like that. I mean, that would be cool to have more maps. But then again, it's tough when you want to play an RTS competitively. I don't know if StarCraft is that way. Is map knowledge like all important?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Okay. So there's only so many that you want to learn. And if you're going to invest your time learning it, you want to be sure right. that other people are going to want to play it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It's
right.
about knowing which crystals to go for and which, you know, Vespine.
I just didn't play StarCraft competitively.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, even. Well, when we play to win, that's competitively. It's not yeah. like in a
even against friends like
tournament.
You're advancing at the same pace.
Okay, that's okay.
Like when we play Ko, we want to win.
Yeah, but Ko is a totally different world.
It's not a sandbox. Like,
I never felt like I was going to have an aneurysm playing StarCraft. There are times with Company of Heroes that you guys are like, Anthony, you still there? And it's because I'm sitting there talking to myself in my room.
Maybe when you play StarCraft. It's Sean.
Yeah, that's what I was telling you to get in the cipher with us. There's times you don't want to be in there.
Yeah.
Because people just start losing their shit, and it's like all of us get quiet, and there's just one person fucking screaming and ranting.
Uh-oh.
And the rest of us are quiet, and we're all wanting to say, we're waiting for someone to be like,
well, because they're having a gaming tantrum.
Yeah, to remind them fit. That it's not a, it's just a game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't press my talk button when I'm doing that.
Oh, when you're having a tantrum.
I leave that to myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to have it. I used to play poker with all these guys. I used to play cards with all these guys, and there was one guy who would always be having fucking rage fits while we were playing poker. And, you know, we're talking like, you know, nickel, dime, quarter. So it's not high money. We're all working guys, all adults. You know, he's got a decent job. And he gets in this thing where he's like, the cards are against him. But he's saying it out loud, like, there it is again. I can't get three of a kind.
Dude, that's exactly it.
You know, that kind of thing where he's like basically hijacked the whole experience because we're all sitting there like, you know, and like every hand starts being about him. Of course, once again, can't get the straight. And we're like, dude, first of all, you lost 50 fucking cents. Okay, that's all you lost, 50 cents. Second of all, six other people at the same table also lost. Only one guy won the hand. So it's not just about you losing the hand every time. Oh, God, sorry, I'm ranting because I...
No, go on.
It that kind of poor sportsmanship pisses me off so much. It's like, if you're not prepared to lose, then quit.
Yeah.
You know? Because you're going to lose. Out,
sometimes it's fun, though, to egg them on.
Like, oh, sure.
I used to love doing fighting games when you'd be the... I don't know. I'm about to say I would be an asshole. Now I'm all self-conscious about it because people posting on forums about how I'm an asshole. Like, then I say things to you. Like, I saw someone this thread. Someone was like, yeah, they were talking about how they fell asleep at their computers. And
oh, I saw
this
that.
This fucking
yeah.
caustic asshole compared it to shitting their pants. It's like, you guys know me. And you know that it's a total
yes.
joke. It's like, I'm not, like, I don't really care. I don't really think that.
Well,
like,
we play with someone.
Or we might agree with you.
I never fell asleep at the computer. You know how superior I am than you. Like, there's none of that there ever.
And the other side of it is I might agree with you. Okay. The other side of it is if I'm falling asleep at my computer playing a game, that's kind of a sad moment in my life.
Yeah, we could make fun of it. It's like, but people,
I'm willing to admit that.
Apparently, there are
too
people
close to
out
home
there,
for that guy.
Yeah, that don't understand.
Right.
They just don't get this. So the story I'm about to tell, they're both saying, okay, well, what a prick. But, you know, you're playing fighting with a friend, and it ultimately works because when they're so pissed off, you're just like, how does it feel just to be, like, impotent? Like, have you ever imagined what it's like to win? Do you ever just, like, think about how it would feel to win a game? Yeah, I mean, you just talk to them like that the entire time, and eventually then they just, like, have to laugh, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they don't have to, or then they start challenging you to a fist fight, which has happened a few times over like Mortal Kombat and stuff like
dude,
that.
Dude, I never.
Yeah, there's one guy in computer gaming world in the old days. We used to all be really into High Heat Baseball at the time. That was good on the PC from 3DO. There was a year or two there where that was just the greatest PC baseball game. And it was so good that the entire staff played and we had like a league going on. And this is people who weren't even into sports or baseball, but the game was just so fun that we set up a league. And I don't want to name names. He might listen to the podcast. And you know, I actually love you, man, but you were kind of a poor sport.
So that story that you heard. Huh? That involves naming names.
Which one? We'll have to go off
about
mic here.
Online posts.
Oh, that's something else. Yeah, okay. But on the baseball thing, this guy, he was poor sport in that same way. What we would do is, you know, it's just one-on-one matches, but we would play them. So like the whole, especially as the season was winding down, the baseball season was our league baseball season was winding down. You know, every game was important. And so, you know, you'd hear this guy versus this person was up. And so we'd all be in there watching because it would be epic, you know. And this one dude was such a poor sport. He was just the classic. Like, if he was winning, he could not stop the trash talking. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, there it is again. Oh, yeah. You know, because the game would replay big moments in the game. And he would make you sit through it. You know, yeah. Which you could skip past.
And like, you know, the announcer is saying, did you hear that? Did you hear that? He's talking about me.
Right.
He's not talking about you.
Right.
He's talking
it's
about
that
me.
Kind of shit. But if he was on the losing end, not only would he just like be like utterly quiet and like his face would be all beet red, but if like the other person who was beating him would be like getting those moments, he'd be just be going, push the button, skip it, we don't need to see this. And he had no self-conscious awareness of the discrepancy between the way he was acting when he was winning or losing, to the point where, you know, it was no fun. Well, at first it was no fun playing him because he would be that way and you'd just be like, I'm sorry I'm beating you, dude, like Jesus, you know. I would lose so you would be happier so we could all be happier, but actually I'd like to win. But he was actually so bad at it that it did kind of get that way. It would get to where like he'd be getting his ass kicked and all the rest of us, we'd like a couple of us would be outside the room going, good. And then we'd go in and we'd all be sort of enjoying his tantrum. And there was one day where there was one woman on the staff at the time who was a copy editor, and she was it's just the way it worked out. It's a stereotype, but it's just the way it was in this particular case. She was terrible at it. She didn't know baseball. So, you know, I'd hate to say it, but it was like, quote unquote, kind of like typical girl. You know, you had to be a little bit like, here's how I'm putting that in big quotes. It's just
you're creating a hostile.
She was absolutely that like, well, what does that guy do? You know, that's the pitcher, that sort of thing. So she wasn't very good. And she was only in it because the whole staff was doing it. So when you played a game against her, you would just go easy on it because she wasn't really in competition, right?
So don't apologize for it. It's like she sucked at high heat and she was a woman. Fucking deal.
I've lived
it's
in
not Ber- saying all
I've lived in Berkeley too. I lived in, okay, yeah. I'll say it the other way. Man, this
look
chick sucked. Okay. So anyway, so
there was I'm sure there's plenty of guys
but there was one game where it was just one of those horrible the stars were aligned sort of things where when she goes in there, she's up against this guy. And she starts randomly kicking his ass. Right. It's just one of those moments where he just like a pitcher who's having it in real life, who just can't throw straight. He's just having one of those days. Well, this guy was having one of those was getting his ass kicked and it was going all around the floor. We were like, oh my God, she's kicking Dave's ass. Whoop! I said his name. I'm kicking his ass. So he was getting more and more mad, but he was so mad that he couldn't say anything. Instead of, he couldn't even do the like push a button. He was just sitting there like taking his lumps. He was like beaten down as a human.
Nice.
And then the game ended and he just walked it. He threw the controller, threw it gently, walked out of the room, and we're all just sitting there. He hasn't said one word. And then we hear boom when he gets outside and he had kicked his trash can basically in half. He kicked it so hard.
Wow.
Red.
Yeah.
It's kind of like we had this like in-office Soul Calibur 2 tournament, and I was telling like Kimmy, who was a community manager at the time, to play the character Raphael, and if you just hold forward and mash, it was like A or B, and you just basically do a series of pokes, but you're able to, like, as soon as you're done, there's a slight pause, and then you resume another mm-hmm. series of like advancing pokes. And so she beat a few people in the tournament that way, and then she got to Shu, who's actually a good Soul Calibur player, and he was one of the hopefuls for, you know, likely to be in the finals. And I think it was like the first to win three games, and she beat him two, the first two, and then he turned it around, but he was like sweating the whole time just from that same bullshit. And then all around, like I was standing getting everyone to go like, hey.
I got tons of situations, specifically with fighting games, where like someone steps in and is a total button masher, have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're beating and like wins. The one who's always playing the same character and always wins, and they're just like,
ugh. It's upsetting. It is tough because sometimes a true masher who's just like really going all over the buttons is so they're absolutely unpredictable. Mm-hmm. But they're also no fun because of that. Because you can't psych anything. Them out. I mean, all the fun of Soul Calibur is in conditioning people, right? So you hit them with the series of high. I mean, this is a rudimentary example. You hit them with the series of high attacks until they learn to block high. Mm-hmm. Then you hit them with a low throw, like if you're Nightmare or something, or you hit them with like a low attack or a mid attack or a crumple stun or something, or vice versa, you do it with lows. But you can't condition a masher, and you can't like predict, like you can't, they're not going to fall into a pattern where you can start to like guard impact them or sidestep them and counter. So they're no fun to play at all. And they totally can upset, and then it's annoying. Well, you fucking didn't.
It's not always like specific characters where it works really well with.
That's the kind of player I am. I don't really play that genre, and every once in a while, not so much anymore, but like back when the first Soul Calibur and Soul Calibur 2 came out, and I would hang out with like the OPM guys or whatever, and they would have me play, and I didn't know what anything did. I'd just be holding the controller, just hitting every button, and sometimes I'd win.
Yeah.
Like, this is cool.
It happens at times that way.
Yep.
It's not like, it's not like an FPS or an RTS where mashing ain't gonna do shit for you.
There was an incident with Dead or Alive 2, where one person didn't know anything about it, but someone else taught them how to counter. So they were just doing, you know, the back and counter and
there
all the different directions.
There were people that play that way. There was a Dead or Alive 2,
every
you
time.
Could whore that.
Yeah.
That's why I always like guard impacts more, is because the counter is like guaranteed damage on it. So it's like, well, why not just sit there and try
counter,
to counter
and
every
that,
single
this person
move.
All that's new, all that they knew about the game was how to counter, because that's all that they were taught by the other person.
And they'd win.
And they won constantly because they would just be spamming counters.
It's annoying shit.
Yeah.
So, I guess, Anthony, did you have more anticipated games, or we got way off?
No.
StarCraft's your one.
And Fallout.
You have to pick a new
Fallout.
One, Jeff.
Did you pick a new one? Yeah, definitely with StarCraft. I was going to say I have great memories of playing Battle.net at the beginning, because it was kind of the good old days if you were in on it from the beginning when it wasn't all pro yet. You actually could just do a random Battle.net. I mean, that's all I would do. I would just go into the lobby and just say, I want to be in a 2-on-2 or a 4-on-4 or whatever, and I could play and keep up. I wouldn't be great, and I'd usually lose, because even then people were just...
Well, in the early days of, you know, any RTS's lifespan, it's kind of still the learning phase. And if you get in early enough, like, some games are just, like, teaching each other in some ways. I've had battles go like that.
Yeah, now I wouldn't dream of going on Battle.net.
You'd be like, ally up. You know, you're playing, say, like, a 4v4. And in that game, you're able to, like, just basically call a truce with someone. And there are people that are stat whores, and they just never want to lose. So then they just start begging you to ally up.
Yeah.
So I guess you weren't saying it. You don't even know what it is.
No.
He doesn't make friends.
I don't talk to people. So other than that, what am I looking forward to? Well, I'm definitely looking forward to another RTS would be, and I guess it's probably not officially announced, and I don't even know for sure whether it's actually happening for real, but I assume there's going to be another Dawn of War from Relic's other franchise, which I've always been very into. So I'm looking forward to that. The other big one, Fallout 3, other than that, would probably be BioWare's next game, which we have heard nothing about.
Dragon Age?
On the PC. Yeah, Dragon Age, since way back when we first wrote about it over a year ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love BioWare games, and I hope they learn from Mass Effect.
Yeah, I have to say I've not... You know, I didn't play Mass Effect long enough to decide if it didn't grab me, so I let it go very early into my experience there.
It's coming to PC. I'm going to try it.
I'll try it again.
I wish it's one of those games I wish I had waited, because it's not a huge difference between the console one and the PC one, but there's enough little tweaks that made me go, okay, that would have been better if I just held out a little longer.
Since you're probably going to review it, you probably wish you waited too.
Well, you know, I actually have been half meaning to play it again, but then like I started, I'm like, wait, why do I want to play this again? Something about it is bringing me back. So now I'm just going to wait for the PC one because I want to play through, you know, being the good guy.
Yeah. There's tons of other games, too, that we're not remembering. So don't be mad at us for not.
I thought we could only have a chance to talk about one. Right. So. To do two. I mean, I'm actually pretty interested in Far Cry 2.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool to me.
It looks really good.
Now just announced the Aliens game, man. Like it's bringing me back to being 12 years old, and you know.
Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway too. I want to play that.
Borderlands,
everything that Gearbox is working big on one so
from,
far
from Gearbox. Yep,
got my interest.
Yep,
and
whatever Ken Levine has up its sleeve next, which we have a pretty decent idea about,
but we can't say. And that
well,
seems
it'd be total speculation anyway.
Yeah, but it'll make if it's what we think it is. It'll make people pretty damn happy.
You could probably Google or Wikipedia it and get some good clues because that's about all we have too. Mm-hmm. But if it is what we think, then we're all happy.
They're working on a Bioshock
sequel. How's that for a big help?
Which will be interesting to see what comes of that.
Of what? Sorry.
On a Bioshock sequel. It's called GeoShock. Yeah, it's actually set in the bowels of the earth. And then they plan it as a trilogy. And Aeroshock's the third one. And there's basically like Bespin Cloud City.
Cool.
You're totally that making
sounds totally bullshit.
I know you are. GeoShock.
I saw the concept art.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, it is going.
Were you like, oh, I'm going to wait for the AeroShock?
The more serious Sean looks, the more he's bullshitting.
I know. If I'm ever just like straight faced.
Well, it was like one time in Company of Heroes, Sean, we were playing a map and Sean was like, oh shit, this is that shitty map where you got to use boats to cross the river. And I was like, oh shit, all right, first better thing I got to do, mob to the boats.
There's no boats in Company of Heroes.
Right.
Yeah, you were. It took forever, too. I looked over. I think I look like, what are you doing over there?
trying to get the boat.
And Half-Life Episode 3.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Big, huge cliffhanger there.
Portal follow-up.
Yep.
They're talking about Counter-Strike 2, which will be interesting.
Really?
I never got into Counter-Strike.
I think they're still in the... Either Doug Lombardi of Valve is, you know, marketing director there, is just kind of like teasing people, showing the world that, yes, CS Source is not the end of the CS series, but saying that, like, yeah, it'll be different. It's not where CS Source was basically just Counter-Strike with a new engine.
Reskinned and balanced.
Of course, tournament players, don't shoot me. I know how much bullet spread and all that's affecting you, and you think it's an entirely different game. But for the rest of us that don't play tournament level, it's basically the same game with, like, Freedom Tires. Freedom Tires, the tire that rolls down the street instead of staying in the same place on the map. but, yeah, it sounds like they're want to do something with it, and they're considering, you know, should they do, like, a TF2-style thing, not visually, but to the extent to which Team Fortress 2 differs in gameplay from Team Fortress Classic, you know. So that'll be interesting. I'll hope they do change it, though, because like you say, I don't play Counter-Strike because it's just so specific. It's just so Counter-Strike, you know? It's
like, yeah,
it's
the game. That was another game that I got in, like, people tried to get me into it too late.
Yeah.
And you get shot and you die and have to sit there.
Yeah.
And that is the most off-putting thing for someone who's just jumping in.
Yeah.
It's no game to learn in. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's infuriating to go in. But conversely, you feel great when you get to the point where you start getting kills in the game.
Yeah.
Because you're like, holy shit, I got a kill.
Yeah.
Then you get past
that. I lasted 20 seconds.
But then it's always still like, even when, you know, you get decent, it's kind of like, it's just so specific. The maps are so small. It plays out in like a set number of ways. People are always going to be in the same spots, and it's just going to be like, are they a better shot than you? And the answer is always someone is, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and then you got to wait and watch the people that are better than you prove to you how much better than you they are for the rest of the rest of the round.
It's pretty rad.
That's all they got.
But if they're good, they'll give you some spray tags that are entertaining. We encountered Meat Spin in our last encounter in Team Fortress 2.
Meat spin?
Meat Spin.
I don't know what that. What is that?
It's basically like.
I don't know.
No.
It's like a guy. So. It's two guys having sex, but it's just a close up of the genitalia, and the meat is like spinning around, like wagging around.
Wait,
in
this
a circle,
is a
like
tag?
A windmill. Oh,
okay. This is a tag.
But he's got like a bikini about? Line. Like
yeah, it was like a gift tag.
Okay.
So you can have animated gift tags.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you
there's
can.
Nasty
oh, I didn't know
there.
That.
There's all kinds of like scat stuff going on. I mean.
The like, funny thing
the
was,
the dirtiest
once,
shit you can just put in and put it on the wall, and it's there for the entire time. For a half hour, it was in the spawn.
But yeah, but the funny thing was is that like everyone was like, oh my god, why is this here? And Sean was like, I want to see. I want to see. He was on the other team. So like, he would kill everyone and be like, I got 3 seconds. I got 3 seconds. And he'd try and run in there. Oh, I saw it.
Wow, I didn't know you could do animated gifts. Just in Counter-Strike that you can do that? That your tag can be animated?
In all the games, you can do it in Counter-Strike. You can do it in Team Fortress.
Oh, wow.
In all the Valve games, you know.
Okay.
So it can lead that basically, you know,
one.
Yeah, online content subject to change.
That's why they have
ESRB rating. It can go as
TF2
far as it
also?
Wants to go. Yes, but I'm talking about.
That's what he's talking about. You are. Yeah. I thought you were talking about Counter Strike.
They sprayed it in their spawn, and you know how at the end when you win, you get to go into their spawn and kill up any lingers. So I went in there to kill him, and I was like, "Whoa, what have we got here?" So I was like, telling my team, I didn't tell them what it was. I'm like, "Dude, get in there. There's some good shit in there." But I was like, "I ain't fucking going back in there." But like, so they went. But of course, Rory, who's like the internet sage. Basically, the person in this office, I'm kind of that way. Like, someone sends me a link and I'm like old.
Yeah.
He's that way about everything. I call him, you know, Batman, there's the character Oracle. And she's like, knows, like, she's who Batman goes to when he needs, like, any information or know anything. Cause she's already
Oracle.
Been there.
Right.
And done
this
it.
Is like how Scooter used to be here.
Yeah. So he'll be like, dude, that shit is fucking so old. He knows that's why I knew what it was called. I was like, oh, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Because I had
when you described it, I knew it. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, I've heard of, like, the name, but I knew it was something I never wanted to click on, you know? Like, when people would bring it up, I'd be like, okay, just watch for that. Never go to
Dude, fuck
man.
You,
the
man.
Same way
you need to click on any link anyone ever sends you for the shit you've sent everyone
no
else.
No kidding. Yeah, no kidding. Your karma needs to catch up with you.
Yeah, I've been hooking you up some. This week alone, we had... there's the one, now it's already old, but the guy who wraps his unit in tinfoil and sticks the tip into a light socket.
What?
I sent you that this morning.
See, I don't click on every link of yours anymore because I'm worried. don't get hurt.
The other one. Was,
your links scare me.
That was old because you were out sick, so that's why you're getting it.
Okay.
But the other one I sent you, you did watch about the zoophilia.
Garth and Wayne.
I did watch it, see? You sent me a link. I didn't know what it's about. I click on it, and then sure enough, it's two people talking about having sex with animals. And then Sean wonders why I don't click on his
But
links.
Then I kicked you a freestyle about it, though.
Yeah, you did, and that was funny.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
The follow-up.
Yeah. How are we doing on time? Are we done?
We should be done.
We're just about done.
Here, random, since I haven't told stories from my past.
Yeah.
I got some random ones.
All right. Hit us.
This will be the last one. I was just figuring somehow it's never come up. I've talked about like Corey and all these other figures in my history who I've played games with and everything. And somehow Alvin Walter Broyles III hasn't come up. And that name should make you smile.
It's a good name.
Because basically I knew this kid all growing up. So from elementary school on, and he was always like a total punk. He was like the like alpha bully in our group. And he was the kind of kid, like, if you're walking by a puddle, you could be, like, best friends. Maybe there's, like, four of you or something. He'll just stomp in it, like, in your direction to soak you in the shit. Or, like, and then he'll apologize, like, come on, I'm sorry. And then there'll be, like, a big plant, like, they call a bush willy. It's, like, basically in Southern California, like, a big stalk, and it's loaded with just, like, furry crap that... like thistles that come off.
Yep.
Then he would like grab one of those and they're like 6 feet long and then like feather you with that after he'd already like more or less tarred you with the mud puddle. So, or like a cat, there'd be a rotten cactus apple. I mean, there's a time when if you saw anything rotten on the street or anything, you would run immediately before he saw it. Because there's like a time even that, you know, in school, I remember he even did to me, I was eating like this burrito. I mean, we had burritos for school lunch and it had a hot dog in it. And
what?
In the burrito,
ew.
It had a hot dog. And that was a nasty surprise for everyone. So it would be like beans and there's
That's
just
disgusting.
A hot dog in the burrito.
Okay.
And then he just like looks at it, takes a bite, and then throws it right on my fucking shirt. What the fuck was that? So we were always getting in fights and shit. I mean, that our whole youth was, you know, us like wanting to fucking beat each other up. And he was always a little bigger though. I would lose most of the time. But so I grew up with him and high school was crazy because then he started... He was like the first one in our group, you know, start trying drugs and everything. And so he would just start coming to class and homeroom in high school. He would drop acid or shit. And then here's the things with him. Like we had like a school assembly one time, you know, everyone goes into the gym and you're in the bleachers
and there's an assembly, and they started playing like some Nirvana, and he was on acid that day, and he's wearing like Doc Martens and shit, and he's up in the bleachers, and he just starts rolling over everyone's head like he's at a Nirvana concert, right? But you got to imagine, it's all these like high school girls and shit, you know? They're just chilling. They're like, what's going on? Like all of a sudden, like just boots and this fool is just like elbows and knuckles rolling over everyone's head like he's like at the Nirvana concert. I'm not making this up at all.
Now he's a CEO somewhere.
No, I'll get to like his story. I do a quick chronology. So then later that same year, he was in the high school air band thing, and this was the big year. Like in addition to the talent show, they'd have an air band thing, and that's basically you put up your whatever your choreographed stage presence, and you lip sync to a song, but you have like the full. It's basically Guitar Hero.
Sure,
you all get up there and pretend that you actually know how to play. So he somehow got through the screening, a Napalm Death song, and that's like this like obnoxious death metal. And he brought like, so it's all, most of it's what you would expect at a high school air band. It's a bunch of girls in like, in, you know, like all the whatever civics courses and stuff that are doing Yellow Submarine, and they got a big cardboard Yellow Submarine. They're all cutely dancing behind and stuff. So he comes up there with that, and it's like the PTA, you know, like parents are in the judges table in the front and stuff, and it starts playing. And then a bunch of us started like moshing. But it was all like chairs, you know, foldable chairs. And then that started going bad because like the coaches and shit at that time that were kind of hanging out there, they didn't know what the fuck we were doing. They thought we were just starting a riot or something. So they came in and just started grabbing us by the scruffs of our neck. But before that happened, before I got grabbed and some other people I was with, we see Alvin, he's spitting fake blood all over the stage. He wasn't supposed to do that. But then he opens his like his jacket, and he's got like a beef kidney he got from Safeway. And he throws it smack right at the fucking PTA judges. Like, thinking it's cool. And he's banging his head and shit, pretending he's playing the guitar like, you know, like that kind of bullshit. And he throws that at them. So the same guy ended up becoming a massive meth addict. And then we couldn't tell. Like, we got to this point where we're all like, and he dropped out of high school, of course, and we're like, he starts drifting away, and you see him more often than not out front of the local liquor store where he's trying to, you know, fish for alcohol or something. And but we'd still kind of insist, like, he'd want to come over and hang out. And we were like, he's just crazy. And I didn't know it at the time. I was like, is meth really that fucked up? And then I had like a bunch of other friends and my half brother that were like meth junkies. And then I was more exposed to it more, and I was like, there's something else here. And I figured out ultimately he had to have been schizophrenic. And it was just at that time, right? You know, late adolescence, like early, you know, adulthood. And he had that. And a lot of times people that are schizophrenic end up doing a bunch of drugs like around that time too beforehand. And it's kind of like confusing for, you know, for family and stuff to sort out what it was. Did the drugs make him go crazier? Now it's just classic. Now that I know, like, I've had, you know, like an ex-girlfriend whose brother was schizo. I told you Corey's brother ended up becoming schizo. But so at the time when I still didn't know this, we would try to hang out with him now and then. And you'd go on these runs with him. Like, let's just go to a friend's house. And that was about the most coherent thing you'd say, because half the time he'd try to tell you how, like, he learned ninjutsu, and you're like, well, what do you mean? And he's telling the story, and it's one of those like dreamlike senses of logic that makes no sense whatsoever. And you ultimately figure out that he's saying that he became so good at playing guitar, he also learned ninjutsu. He was like one of those kind of dudes. So
yeah.
we go to this house.
Yep. Okay. And you wanted to hang out with this guy.
Because I told you, it was kind of, it's one of those things, you know, say you're like, whatever, you're 19 or 20 or something,
yeah.
and you'd spent your whole life knowing this person.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you get
yeah.
to the point where you're like, I ain't going to hang out with you anymore. And this is what I'm telling you is one of the last episodes. Mm-hmm. So we go to this house. It's a total fucking shithole, like a total druggie's house, you know, like you don't even know how they're paying rent. It's like broken windows and crap. There's no furniture or anything.
Yep.
And there's just a shitty TV there. And we're all just sitting around. I'm like, dude, we trying to tell him, like, waiting for the other guy that lived there to go into the bathroom or something. We're like, let's fucking go, you know? But we're sitting there, and there's a guy's just talking about how much he loves his TV, and Alvin's telling him, man, we got to go and take this TV and pawn it, because he wanted to take it and pawn it to get money for some more meth, you know? He wanted to get another 8-ball, and then the guy's like, I love this TV, man. I love this, and I can understand why. It was the only thing in his entire house other than the shitty couch. All of a sudden, Alvin picks up the phone. It hadn't rung or anything. He picks up the phone, and then he, like, his face goes just, like, loses all expression. Then he looks at us, and he's like, oh shit, we gotta run. And then he hangs it up and we're all running. Next thing I know, we're all just fucking hauling ass out this house. And we get like 2 blocks. And at that point, as I was running, I was like, okay, I think I figured it out, but we shouldn't still be running according to the way I figured it out. And that would be, he wanted to try to get the kid out of the house so he can go back and take the TV. So then he can go pawn that. So then I ask him that. I'm like, are you going to get the TV or what are you doing? And he's like, what are you talking about? And by that time, we just kind of like slowed into just a walk from the run. And then he didn't have any explanation or anything. That was just it. So that's an anticlimactic end of the story.
Wait, you don't know why you were running?
We just, no idea.
That's just how it happened. End.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is like a Tarantino movie all of a sudden.
It's good for it.
Is that the last time you ever saw him?
No, we would see him. There are always stories about him. Someone would see him at this beach or that beach, or he was on like the local news because they were doing a story about that same liquor store, how it would sell to minors and shit. Mm-hmm. And he was on there like yelling at the camera. And
this isn't Shane, is it?
No. Why don't you tell a Shane story?
I don't have any Shane stories.
What is it?
I don't have any.
All right. I don't know if we should tell it. We all got word of a particularly incriminating one today.
Oh, that one? That's not our place.
All right. Okay. It's not.
We'll just have everybody wondering.
Yeah.
I am going to end the rumor, though, that I'm Shane's father, though, that Shane started.
Is there a rumor?
Yeah. He started it over at GDC in a drunken stupor.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. At a couple parties. He kept saying, Jeff Green's my dad. So.
You're disowning
him. And this has actually blossomed into something people believed?
No, I don't think so. No.
But you still don't want to.
But just in case. It's just disturbed me ever since.
Just because the idea that someone his age could be your son.
Yeah, there's that. And also there would be the where did I go wrong factor. No.
I tried to give you an
answer. I'm just kidding.
You're mean.
I'm just kidding. I love Shane.
It's all jokes. It's all fun and games.
Like a father.
Yeah.
Okay, are we done here?
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Okay.
It's 5:07. It's time to go.
It's time to go. We'll be back next week. We'll probably have Ryan Scott back, maybe. We'll see.
Oh, we will, of course.
Yeah, he just had some personal shit to attend to. His heater exploded. Right. Yeah. That's not a euphemism.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, no, it actually did. Poor guy.
Blowing up.
Thanks, Anthony.
No problem.
And, keep us posted on the next Magic the Gathering tournament. We'll want to hear all about it.
Just a gathering.
I want to bring a camera.
And take photos next time.
Yeah. I know.
So you can blog about it.
Sean told me I failed.
Get video, man.
Next time.
All right, next time. Okay. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again sometime.